Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Judy Joy Jones Show. And the beautiful piece you are listening to that opened our show is actually being performed by our guest, Rebecca Rodman, and it's titled Basso Electro. And I may have mispronounced that. We will ask her when we bring her up. It was beautiful. I wanted it to never end. I wanted to let you know of a couple of other guests that we're going to have, and then I'm going to bring Rebecca up just as soon as I can. Tomorrow night, we have Doris Williams, and she plays the lute and sings Celtic music. And her voice is truly that of an angel. It's just gorgeous. And that will be at 7 p.m. tomorrow, Sunday, October 5th. And then we are going to have on October 8th, which is Wednesday at 7 p.m., Stephen Merlies. And Stephen is a classical composer from Belgium, and he actually has composed two pieces for our show, and I can't wait for him to come on. That's going to be great as well. And I wanted to tell everyone that I especially would like to give a shout-out to Blog Talk Radio and the staff who has helped me nonstop, and especially to Alan Levy, who is the CEO, founder, inventor of this incredible new communications medium, which I am certain is moving us into our new galactic homes. And thank you. I'm really enjoying being part of this. And without much more ado, I would like to go ahead and give you some background on Rebecca Rodman, our guest tonight. She is a cellist in the Santa Rosa and Oakland Symphonies. Rebecca graduated from California State University with a BA in music performance. As a child, she won numerous competitions and scholarships, was the principal cellist of the Marin Youth Orchestra, and a member of the San Francisco Youth Orchestra. In 1997, Ms. Rodman toured Europe with the San Francisco Youth Orchestra. She has performed solos with Marin Youth Orchestra, Cal State Hayward Orchestra, Marin Chamber Orchestra, and the Classical Philharmonic. Ms. Rodman has also toured Brazil with the San Francisco Women's Philharmonic. She was a cellist in the Chamberlain Quartet, which was the California State University String Quartet in residence. Rebecca has performed with the Monterey, Modesto, and Santa Cruz Symphonies. And we are so proud to welcome her with a background like that. And after hearing her piece, I just would love to hear her in person anytime, anywhere. She can play, perform all different types, styles of music, from beautiful classical background music to Broadway show tunes to tangos and even more passionate music, and I'm sure she can. And I'm going to bring her up right now so that she can tell everyone hello. And hello.
Oh, hi, Judy. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca. Okay, now tell me everything I mispronounced. I'm ready.
Oh, you got everything right. I'm in the Santa Rosa Symphony right now and really enjoying it, and I'm also in the Oakland East Bay Symphony. I also play in an electric gypsy rock band, which is what you were just having on the radio being performed, and that the piece is called the Basso, and it's a Hungarian tune.
The Basso. Did you compose that?
I didn't. It's a traditional Hungarian tune.
Okay.
And we adapted it for our band, which is called Electrica, and so all our instruments are electric. There's myself on the electric cello. We have an electric guitar player, electric bass player, electric drummer, and an electric violin player. And so we've taken this traditional music and sort of modernized it by making everything electric.
Oh, how exciting is that? And where are you performing with the group? Is it all over the Bay Area? San Francisco Bay Area, California, we're talking about.
Definitely. All over the Bay Area. And we're just a brand new group. We just got started a couple months ago. And so we're basically learning all the songs, getting everything together. And then we're just going to go out there and show the Bay Area what we have.
Good for you. Well, I don't know if you're aware, but the radio show, the internet radio show, we're having the live show with tonight, Blog Talk Radio. It's actually international, so millions of people can listen to this live free of charge, and probably are, and they can also download the archives 24/7 free of charge. So that's why I wanted to make sure, and I know the area as, you know, San Fran Bay Area, but a lot of people in other countries may not know what in the world is the Bay Area.
And, right.
Yeah, so, the symphonies, playing in two symphonies, that must keep you a little busy.
It does. It's funny because as a musician, usually we have several jobs, and those are just two of the orchestras I'm in, but I also am a music teacher, and I teach an after-school orchestra program in Novato, California. It's about 30 miles north of San Francisco, and it's twice a week after school. It's for middle school and high school students, and I absolutely love it. I also teach part-time at a school in Novato, and it's called Sinaloa Middle School, and I'm basically an assistant to the music director. And also, what I do is I teach once a week in Oakland. It's at an elementary public school, and it's actually run through the Oakland East Bay Symphony. It's called the MUSE program, and it stands for Music for Excellence. And basically, they take professional musicians that are in the Oakland Symphony, and they place them in schools throughout Oakland to work with music teachers and students in their music classes in low-income neighborhoods. And that's been a real joy to be a part of. Absolutely fun.
Wonderful. Oakland has so many fine musicians, Oakland, California, that have come from there, and it's just filled with music, isn't it? The kids are grow up with musicians on the streets. Just anywhere you walk downtown in that area or Berkeley, it's just covered with fine musicians, budding musicians. Well, now, I know these places you're talking about, you must be in your car quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Going over the Golden Gate Bridge, back and forth, back and forth.
A lot of money is spent on gas, but fortunately, I love what I do, so it makes it worth it. And then when I'm in the car, I just play music, or if I'm getting ready for a performance, let's say I'm playing a classical piece in Oakland Symphony, I can listen to a CD in my car, and so it's a great way to also learn at the same time.
Exactly. Now, how did you land jobs? Because it is not easy to get jobs in symphonies, period. I mean, the competition is ferocious. Am I not wrong? It is hard.
Oh, no, you're entirely correct. It's very challenging to get into an orchestra. like, let's take the Santa Rosa Symphony, for example. I auditioned for that about 5 years ago, and what happens is you have to learn 5 different pieces of music, but in those 5 different pieces of music, you only learn about, let's say, about 30 seconds of music from each of those 5 pieces of music. And the thing of it is, you have to play it with correct rhythm, beautiful tone. Everything has to be absolutely perfect, which sounds easy, except, you know, you have nerves that go into it. Maybe your finger misses the note just slightly.
Aww.
So it takes, I mean, in order for me to audition for the Santa Rosa Symphony, it took me about 5 months of preparation, just getting those pieces ready. And those are what are called the required pieces, those 5 pieces. And also what they have is they want you to prepare a piece on your own, preferably a concerto. And that can be, you know, about 3 minutes of a piece. And so I worked with my cello teachers on that. And then you go into the audition, and there's about, for the Santa Rosa Symphony, for the cello position that we all wanted, there was about 20 cellists trying out for that position. Okay. And you go into the audition room, and it's kind of an interesting experience because you don't actually see the people who are judging you. They actually put up a screen because they don't want to show any favors or anything like that, which makes sense.
Sure.
And yeah, and so you go in there, and someone from behind the screen or behind the curtain will say, okay, please play the Brahms excerpt. And so you just get yourself ready, and you can't speak anything like that, and you just play it, and then they'll ask you maybe for something else, and then they say, okay, thank you very much. And so you're given a number. You're not actually, they don't know that my name is, you know, I'm number 7. And so then what happens is after the first round, they'll say, okay, let's keep number 7 and let's keep number 9. And then we go to the second round, and then if we pass the second round, we get into the orchestra.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So it's
nerves of steel. That's what you have.
Oh, it was fun. You know, in preparation, I recorded myself constantly, and I found that really worked because just playing the music, sometimes it's hard to tell the mistakes that you're making, but when you're away from the cello and you hear the recording, oh, I can't believe I made that mistake. Okay, so this is what I need to fix. So that really helped to prepare for it.
Listening to yourself over and over. Absolutely. Well, now you also are you performing on a regular basis with Monterey, Modesto, and Santa Cruz, or is that before or intermittent? Do you fill in or?
I did that more around when I was in college, just because I lived a little bit closer, because I was, I went to Cal State Hayward, which is now called Cal State East Bay, and that's when I started substituting with those orchestras, and it was great orchestra experience, and also it was fabulous playing with those orchestras, and the Santa Cruz Symphony, I was a member of that orchestra for a few years, and then when I decided to move to Novato, I realized that I like to drive, but I don't like to drive that much. So I needed to get into more local orchestras. Yeah.
And to give the people out there a little bit of an idea, Monterey Bay is very close to a little place called Carmel. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard of Clint Eastwood, the movie star from Hollywood, California, who was the mayor of Carmel, California. I don't know that he is, but the area that we are talking about right then, Monterey, Modesto, and Santa Cruz, that's all right in that little pocket. Big Sur, is that right? It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful area as well. And I'm very curious about your family now. Are they all musical?
Most of them are. My mom actually is a piano teacher. So when I was 7 years old, my mom started me on the piano, which makes sense. And I studied piano for about 6 months. And then she said to me, Rebecca, would you like to play the cello? I don't even think I knew what the cello was, but, mm-hmm. you know, I love my mom. And so I said, sure, I'll play the cello. And I realized she later told me the reason she put me on the cello was because she put my older sister on the violin, and she wanted to have a trio with her on the piano, me on the cello, my sister on the violin. So you know, that's how I got to play the cello. And, of course, I continue with the piano, which only helped my cello skills. But it was fun. We would play weddings together and all sorts of things. And my dad said he liked to play the radio. So, no, my dad did not play an instrument. Although many times I tried to teach him as a kid to play the cello, but that didn't work out so well.
He's just an appreciator of music then. He's not really.
Exactly.
He's not really. Well, I'm sure that he has enjoyed the benefits of having this beautiful music. My goodness.
Oh, thank you.
It would be to be in that type of family where every night you come. But it requires tremendous amount. Now, classical music, were you you were trained classically, right, from a little child?
Absolutely. And my cello teachers, I have lucked out. They are absolutely fabulous. My first cello teacher, her name is Betty Musser, and she lives in Mill Valley. And she taught me for 10 years, and she was like a second mom to me. And she actually, what's kind of neat, she used to play in the Santa Rosa Symphony. So I'm hoping one of my students will play in the Santa Rosa Symphony and kind of keep that going. But so she was wonderful. And then one of the reasons I chose Cal State Hayward was because Larry Granger, who's a cellist in the San Francisco Symphony, taught there, and I had a lesson with him, and I absolutely loved him. He was just wonderful at teaching and just a caring and wonderful human being. I studied with him, and then after college, I studied with Gretchen Elliott, and she actually was taught by Jano Starker, who is a renowned cellist and cello teacher at Indiana University. So I have been very, very lucky with cello teachers.
Wow. You love the instrument. I could see. Oh, let's give people, could you tell people what your website is?
My website? Yeah, I'd love to. It's myspace.com/ Electrica, it's kind of spelled strangely. It's ELECTRIKA. And that'd be great for people to come and check it out.
And then you also have the RebeccaRodman.com.
Mm-hmm. And that's spelled RebeccaRodman.com. And I also have one more website.
Oh.
I guess you can never have enough.
No.
It's my Tango Ritmico group. It's myself on acoustic cello, and it's actually my boyfriend who plays the cajon, which is a South American drum. And the website for that is tangoritmico.com. So there's some music on that they listen to.
Wow. Well, I will add these to your to the description page that we have up after this show is over, because, as I said, the show can be downloaded 24/7 and free of charge from anywhere in the world. And so I will add those because, like you said, you can never get enough websites. Not this day and age. It's just like you think you can, but you can't. I looked at your picture at the RebeccaRodman.com. It's just beautiful when it opens, and there you are, and it's just that love I can see with you and the cello. It's just beautiful. I was trying to picture a little child with a cello. So do they, like, have little cellos?
They do. They're so cute, too. It's amazing how small they can actually get. So that the one I'm playing on is obviously a full size, and it's sort of the adult-sized cello. But, yeah, and you know, when I teach strings, I've seen unbelievably small violins. You almost think they're fake because they're so small. And they have interesting sounds. Yeah.
Well, now, how much does your cello weigh, you know, like a full size? Is it real heavy to lug around?
Well, I'm used to it, so
but
the cello itself isn't too bad. It's putting it in its case. I have a really nice hard case with it, and lifting that's really heavy, so I made sure when I bought my next cello case that I'd get wheels for it, and they ended up, for some reason, putting on skateboard wheels. So, you know, my students think it's very funny that I drive around a cello with skateboard wheels, and I said, you know, this is just what I got on my cello, but yeah, so that's probably the... I just roll it when I get a little lazy because it's so heavy.
So that way you can Yeah, you know, you must look at some of the people that play the piccolo and go, darn.
Well, you know, my mom originally, she told me later on she wanted to actually put me on the harp, but we didn't have a big enough car. So I'm actually, as much as I love the harp, I'm so thankful for that because the cello is heavy enough. I don't need a harp to lug around.
You didn't need a harp to do.
I'm fine.
Throw it in the back seat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really, really beautiful. Now, as far as your I'm really interested about you did perform or toured with the Women's Philharmonic Orchestra, San Francisco Women's Philharmonic Orchestra. I believe they were one of the first all-women orchestras doing women's classical music around the world, maybe. I don't know. Can you fill in any of that?
I actually don't know either. That would be something for me to look up. I just know that once I was so attracted to the idea of just being all-female orchestra. I'd never heard of that. And so I also just won the Plain Orchestra, so I auditioned for that orchestra. And I got in, and everybody was just super nice. And it was really great because at rehearsals, sometimes people bring food so that during the break when you're taking a break for 15 minutes, you know, you can talk and eat some food. And they always took it upon themselves to bring food to all the rehearsals. So it was a very maternal feeling from the orchestra, and everybody was just so kind. And so I felt very lucky to be a part of the orchestra. And the tour you're talking about, this was so exciting. It was my, I think it was the second year I was in the orchestra, and the Avon, the makeup company, decided to sponsor us to go to Brazil and perform, Rio and Sao Paulo on the beaches, and it was like, okay, this is great, and it was completely sponsored by them. Every performance they would do our makeup and our hair, it was pretty surreal, and on the, Sao Paulo and on the beaches, basically we'd have an audience of 47 people, which was unbelievable. I've never played for an audience that big. And you'd look out and it would just
how big did you
people.
Say? I'm sorry, how many?
40,000.
40,000. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
That would just be mind-boggling.
It was. It was hard to believe. When someone told me that, I didn't believe them at first just because it was just such an extreme number, but it, you know, that it got verified, so.
And how was the acoustics? How was the sound?
It was, well, you know, they mic'd us, thank goodness. And so there's all these microphones and everything.
Oh, sure.
And, yeah, and we got to, I wish I could recall the names of the Brazilian singers that sang with us. They were absolutely amazing, and I think, yeah, it was just, it was fabulous.
Well,
to be
did
able
y'all
to
do a CD of that, or I'm sure y'all must have done some recording or something, you know, so that you have a recording of the performances?
I actually don't, and now I'm wondering if I can get my hands on one, because that would be really neat to have.
That would be, well, you know, the Women's Philharmonic actually would, that part of their purpose was to bring women in obscurity, like female composers in history that perhaps had never gotten into the world, and so they kept meticulous records, and I did a little volunteering there, just a little bit, so I know very little about it, but I'm sure that they probably could come up with a copy of that would be a great thing to hear.
That's
really exciting. Have you gotten, like, in the future, you're doing so much right now, but I'm very curious about what are your future goals? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, it's funny because for the past sort of 2 years, I was full-time as a choir teacher, and I was also doing my after-school orchestra program and doing orchestras, and I decided as much as I loved all this, I didn't have a lot of time, so I actually got now a part-time teaching position, which is perfect for me, and then performing. So where I would see myself in 5 years, I would like to, teaching-wise, I'd like to expand my string program some more and maybe incorporate some private teachers to come in and also tutor the students. As far as playing-wise, I definitely want to stay in the Santa Rosa Symphony and the Oconee Bay Symphony. I want to do more performing with rock bands. I found I really, really enjoy that. I've been doing that recently and trying that out, and it's been an absolute blast. So I would probably say that. I also want to perform more on my electric cello, because that's quite fun. And oh, that's good. I'm gonna have to think more about that.
Yeah, well,
too,
it sounds like you're
do that.
You're not gonna have a hard time coming up with one creative mode after another, Rebecca. I'm sure that going and sitting in a symphony and being surrounded by the music is something that, you know, we can go to symphonies and sit in the audience, but I would imagine what you experience would almost be addicting. It's like, can you give us a little feel about what it's, or is the sound not as good? You know, I have no idea when you're actually playing with the symphony orchestra.
You know, it's an amazing feeling, and every time I enter the stage, I feel very, very lucky, because I have been an audience member for, seeing performances and seeing concerts, and it's so different when you're on the stage and you're looking out at the audience, and being sort of inside the music and playing with all these people around you is, it's almost hard to describe. It almost, I can't even describe it, but it's just, yes. You feel unity, you feel, you feel wonderful. Like, maybe I've gone, some days, you know, I go to rehearsal, maybe I'm in a bad mood.
Right.
And usually by the end of the rehearsal, I just feel so good. When you play music, and especially in orchestra, I think you sort of forget about your troubles for a while, and you're just so concentrating on what you're playing. Yeah, exactly. And that you're not thinking anything else. And the music really does take you to someplace else. That's why I just love music, because it can transport you, and you can go from feeling bad to feeling good, or feeling sleepy to feeling energetic, and that's what orchestra does for me.
Well, do you have a favorite composer that, you know, pieces that you prefer to play over others? Have you developed to that, or do you have more of a like them all attitude?
You know, it's funny. I tend to like whatever piece I'm working on at the moment, and then continue to love it. So when I was working on the Bach suites, the cello suites, which I absolutely still love, that was my favorite piece at the time. It just tends to be, and I've heard that happens with other musicians a lot of the time, that their favorite piece is always the one they're working on. And so that would probably, I'm actually picking up the Bach suites again, and I'm looking at it, and so it's become, again, my favorite piece.
Your favorite piece. Well, are there some composers that wrote pieces for, you know, the cello, or that are harder, more difficult to learn or play than others?
Oh, absolutely. Like the Dvorak cello concerto is extremely hard. It's whenever you have to shift very high on the cello. It's called thumb position, and playing notes very fast and high in thumb position can be very hard to get in tune and to execute correctly. So that's a very difficult piece. And not only that, to get the emotion right of the piece and all the other characteristics that make it wonderful. So for sure, there's some pieces that definitely, definitely still challenge me, and that is one of them. And I'd love to finish learning that piece.
Oh, well, that's great. That can keep you motivated and always in the learning mode. When you're, like, with an orchestra, is it true? Would it be like if you made a mistake? Now, are you going to stand out, or the rest of the orchestra? Will they kind of, the rest of the symphony orchestra, do you get covered, or can you actually get caught?
That's a really good question. When I first wasn't in orchestras, I thought professional musicians never made mistakes. Like, I thought it never happened. And then when I went to orchestras, you know, you'd hear the occasional mistake. The good thing is, most of the time, because I'm in a cello section, if I miss a note or I miss a rhythm, no one can tell, because there's usually 7 or 9 other cello players playing. So that's the good news. Now, if I were to play when everybody else in the orchestra was resting, for example, you know, sometimes at the end of pieces, it will go dun, 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 and, you know, if I was dun, dun, you know, then everybody would
hear me. Then it would
But the key to that would be to not show it on my face, so I would just pretend, you know, oh, yes, of course that was supposed to happen, you know, the seventh cello is supposed to play there when the whole orchestra is quiet. So, yeah, I would just play it off. I don't think that's ever happened. I know I've definitely made mistakes, but hopefully none that are noticeable except for my stand partner, the person sitting next to me, and my stand partners are very nice. So
that's good. Okay, that's important because, you know, it's like you cover a little bit for each after a performance, because let's see, the symphonies, you perform at night mostly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're over about 10 o'clock, and then by the time you drive, do you have, like, a certain amount of time it just takes you to relax, and get down from being up so high, being involved in that beautiful music?
It is. It's funny because, you know, the first thing I have to do is, of course, drive home. And so it's about, you know, a 45-minute drive from Santa Rosa to where I live in Novato, or from Oakland to Novato. And, you know, on the way, I'll listen to some music, and usually I'm pretty hyped up, some music's fast, energetic, whatever I happen to be listening to, probably, you know, rock music or something like that. And then I get home, and I usually don't go to bed right away. You know, even if it's late, I'll, you know, hang out with my boyfriend, or I'll read, or I'll watch a movie. But yeah, it is hard to relax after that, because it's so fun.
Yeah, and it's such a high kind of feverish piece, just from being in the audience, of especially certain symphonies. You know, you're just, oh, my goodness, and I can imagine if you're actually playing it, it's got to be, you know, watching the hands fly around and all of that. It's just, you know, it is a very magical, transforming experience, and I really love a live symphony performance. It's an incredible experience. I live very close, about 5 minutes from Symphony Hall in downtown San Francisco.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah, and they have moved the Conservatory of Music, which is a conservatory for, you know, young students, and that's right around the corner. So it's like, oh, my goodness, music everywhere. It's really great. But I have gone to a couple of the auditions and watched the students, and what you were talking about, you know, it's like, it looks like to me that they just have one audition after another, you know, like they're constantly having, you know, performances and competitions. But you grow up with that, so you're ready, right?
And it helped because I was performing pretty early. You know, my mom we'd give concerts. We'd go to Senior Citizen Center and, you know, play for them, or we'd go to retirement communities. I probably started playing, you know, publicly playing when I was 8 years old, but just for, like, the local community. But so I don't have any stage fright or anything like that, which I feel very fortunate about, because I could see how it'd be scarier as an adult if you're not used to it. So, and I'm sure those students in San Francisco who have to try for those auditions, they're used to it, which is really nice. But, yeah, you know, it's funny. When we were talking about how I was auditioning for Santa Rosa Symphony, I wanted to get into the mental frame of how I was going to be auditioning, that I even wore the clothes at home and did pretend auditions, so that when I went there, everything felt the same. I was wearing the same clothes. I was playing. Yeah, so it's kind of strange, but it actually really helped me out. So that's just
amazing.
Kind of
did you get those tips from anyone, Rebecca, or did you read them, or that sounds like a good idea?
You know, I just came up with it because I figured, you know, I wanted to be as comfortable as possible, and you know, if I don't have to wear something different, that might, I don't have to think about it the morning of the audition. You know, I just want to be like, okay, this is what I'm going to wear, and this is that. Yeah.
Well, now the Santa Rosa Symphony, how many members does it have?
Gosh, I think 80. I could be wrong with that
80.
Number, but I think
and
there's
what
about
80. And the Oakland Symphony?
I think it's a little smaller, probably 60 or 70.
Okay. So is an average, well, what would the San Francisco Symphony, how many would that have?
That would probably have a bit more. Maybe 90, maybe 80 to 90. They're fantastic. I love watching the San Francisco
Symphony. Yeah, Michael Till, the director, conductor, his Michael Tilson Thomas. I think he's world renowned. Kind of rock star status for a conductor, isn't he?
It's true. And actually, when I was in the San Francisco Youth Orchestra, which I was really fortunate to get into, it's considered one of the best youth orchestras in the country. And I was in that orchestra for 2 years, I believe, and he actually, Michael Tilson Thomas, actually rehearsed us one of the rehearsals, and that was really special, and it just, you felt like you were in this great presence, and we learned a lot from him, and it was just a very unique experience.
My goodness, I bet you did learn from him. I don't see how you could not. I mean, he just seems like he's that type of teacher personality that he would be. You know, did you ever feel like you were, I don't think you did that. I mean, I may be wrong, but it doesn't sound like you were forced to practice or it's more like you wanted to.
Well, that's kind of funny you'd say that, because when I first started the cello, of course, you know, I definitely wanted to practice, and then I got to around age 13, and I didn't feel like practicing anymore, and so my mom said to me, you know, Rebecca, if you don't practice, I'm going to take away your cello, and I don't think she was serious, but
yeah,
okay, I'm going to practice, and then later on in high school, I'm like, I really don't feel like practicing. She's like, well, if you don't practice, I'm going to take the cello. I'm like, fine, take it away, which she didn't. And then we came to sort of like, I just said, you know what, I'm going to just, let's just do this where I just practice when I feel like it. We'll see how it goes from there. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, that's fine. And so I think for the next 2 months I didn't practice, you know, probably being rebellious
right.
or whatever. But and then after that, when I just set my own time to practice, it worked out really well, and I really started to fall in love with the and I really started liking the sound I was making. And that's when I started trying out for local competitions and scholarships. And I was doing really, really well. And that's when I decided to pursue music in college and go from there. So, yeah, you know, I think it's funny because I teach students, and a lot of them, you know, the parents encourage them to practice, which is
sure.
always a really good idea, because there's going to be times when the kids, it's just hard and they want to give up. But parent encouragement is the best way to go.
Do you? It sounds like you really enjoy teaching.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely
wow.
love it. Yeah, it's just a really cute story for you. When I started my after-school program about 6 years ago in Novato, I had a student, a seventh grader named Diego, who wanted to learn the cello. And so I started teaching him, and I taught him for 6 months in my after-school program. And then he told me that his family was moving to Mexico, and I was really sad because I really liked this student, and I wanted him to continue playing the cello because he was doing so well. So the problem was he couldn't afford a cello. So there's this program in San Francisco, and it's called The Music in the Schools Today, and it's such a great organization. It donates instruments to students who need them in the public schools.
Wow.
So they donated a cello, and I gave it to him. He ended up going to a special music conservatory in Mexico, and he's now 18 and an absolutely fabulous cello player. And so I can't take credit for all his training, but, you know, I started him, and that felt really good. And so,
what a beautiful story. I
guess
he chilled as he got that cello, and it was just like, I see. So it can be very, very rewarding. But what about the student who's not really, let's say, maybe they shouldn't even be doing music? You run across that.
I've had some students who they pick up the instrument and you're kind of like, okay, I really like this kid, but what is that kid doing? But I, you know, it's funny because, you know, you have those kids who start off like that and then they just try and they try and you know what, that works. You know, I don't know if you have to have some sort of music talent. I think anybody is completely capable of playing a music instrument, and it doesn't matter what age. And it's been proven to me, even if I didn't believe in it, it's been proven to me. And I've seen kids who start off, I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen with this kid? And then a few years later, I'm happily surprised by how well they can play.
And what would you say that is a good age? You know, we've got a family out there, and they have a child, and they would like to start them on a cello or piano. What age, actually, does it, like, is there a certain age that's better for the cello and a certain age for the piano? How does that work? What would you tell this family that has a child, the age?
Well, I know that some people, you know, will start their child at age 3 and some will start them at age 10. I would say if a student can sit still for a lesson, you know, if the student's not crawling out of the chair or distracted after 5 minutes of instruction, that would be the time to do it. So 7, I think, was a great age. I mean, that's when I started, maybe even younger. It's whenever it's like the student shows interest in the instrument also is a great time to start.
So at 3,
so anywhere.
They could do it as young as 3 if they are able to stay still. So it totally depends on the child then, is what
absolutely.
It sounds like. and mm-hmm. the parents' understanding of what they will need and not pushing them maybe too hard for a three-year-old or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, teaching, I think, is a calling. I'm not sure that everybody has the same enthusiasm that you have, but I would think with what you probably will continue teaching, no matter what fields you go into with your music, it sounds like to mm-hmm. me it's just part of who you are. I would love to know more about the rock music you were talking about. You know, it's like you have so many different styles that are, you know, when you're doing, what is it, your electric cello?
Yes, my electric cello.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's a Zeta cello, and basically what's interesting, the difference between that and my acoustic cello is that it's solid wood, so that's really heavy. And basically I have effects pedals that go with it, so I can make my cello have reverb just by stepping on a pedal, or I can make it sound like a heavy metal guitar just by stepping on another pedal. So that's been a lot of fun to play with.
Wow. Heavy metal. Oh my gosh, isn't that something? Well, I can imagine the difference in, well, you actually have performed or have you done like shows like you know, different theaters or any of that type performing, like with different musicals?
Well, for example, like last night, I played on my acoustic cello with pickups. I actually played at the Great American Music Hall. It's in San Francisco.
Oh.
And the band I was with opened for Elvis Costello and Ry Cooter, who's a renowned slide guitarist. And I played with his son, Joaquin Cooter, in a band. And that was absolutely amazing and so much fun. And so I realized that's kind of more of what I want to do. And it was actually a benefit for raising money for Prader-Willi syndrome, which is a genetic disorder. And that was really nice being a part of that benefit and also
wow.
playing with such amazing musicians. I felt very lucky to do that.
Wow. So that is like night and day. How did you get is it like your name is on a roster or it's just word of mouth or?
Yeah, it's basically word of mouth. It's amazing how the music community works here. And, you know, it's neat because you'll be friends with someone and then, like, you know, I'll be friends with a violinist and let's say someone needs a violinist and
okay.
for a wedding and then I can call that person. And that's another big thing I do, as you know, because I'm near Napa Valley, so I do a lot of weddings during the summer.
A lot of weddings. I can imagine.
Yeah.
And a lot of wineries. weddings.
Yeah, for sure. For sure,
it's
so
beautiful.
Much fun.
You like wedding. You know, the wine country, Napa Valley in California, is rolling green and its hills. It's really, it's just out of a storybook, isn't it, Rebecca?
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
Yeah.
I can imagine weddings, outdoor weddings there at a winery. Oh, my goodness. What a charm life you are, Lee. I hope you're taking a lot of pictures.
I am. That's been my new thing, too. I've just, you know, fortunately I have a camera on my cell phone, so that's been really handy, especially
that's
last
great.
Night taking pictures.
Wow. I can imagine. You know, I have been so involved in this conversation that I didn't tell everyone that there is a call-in number if you'd like to ask Rebecca a question, and the number is 646-929-1344, 646-929-1344. And also, after the show is over, if you've downloaded it, then, you know, you can take note of her different websites and you can contact her through those. I'm sure she has her emails and everything going that way. You know, anybody that wants to ask you some questions that couldn't listen to the show live. So I just want to let everybody know that on the description page we have, and I'm going to add your other two there, so that way everyone will know how to find you. And actually, I would play another piece. I don't believe that was the one you sent me, so I was going to say
mm-hmm.
we could listen to another one of your pieces. But I know, is there a way that people can, like, purchase that piece that we started the show with, or...
Actually, they can just download it for free at myspace.com/electrica. and it's just there. And there's also another piece we have up there called Two Guitars, which is an old Russian tune. And because we're a new band, we're still putting songs up, but they're welcome to hear that. And on tangoritmico.com, we also have a piece recorded.
Oh, how nice is that? So people that are, you know, you can just go and click on it and download it for free, and that's great. Have you done opera, any of the opera orchestras? Or?
I haven't, but that would be a lot of fun. I would definitely love to do that in the future.
Yeah, that would be an experience. It sounds like for you to think about, and I'm sure that you will have the opportunity. When is your next, let's see now, is the Santa Rosa Symphony, are they now performing regularly, weekly, or?
They perform about once a month, so I'll have rehearsals leading up to it, and then we'll have three concerts. And so that's pretty much the same with the Oakland East Bay Symphony, too. So I perform three concerts a month, but they're all in, like, one weekend.
All in one
like
weekend?
Like on a Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Okay.
A Saturday, a Sunday, and a Monday.
And so then you have the rest of your time to do all of your teaching and your other types of music and everything. Because I didn't know, actually, I think I went to the Oakland Symphony, but I haven't been to the Santa Rosa. Is it possible for, do they have anything like during the day, any performances, Rebecca? Are they all at night?
They're usually at, well, let's see, on Saturday they have a an 8 o'clock performance. On Sunday it's a 3 o'clock performance, and on Monday nights it's an 8 o'clock. But we do an outreach program for kids. So, like, this month, actually, we're going to be doing two youth concerts, and those are usually in the morning, like at 9:30, and then also one in the afternoon at 1:30. So that's great. They, you know, students from the Santa Rosa School District, they come and they watch us, and the conductor explains all the instruments and tells them a little bit about the pieces, and they like it. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. That is such a nice thing. We would go to symphonies, and it just opens your mind. The younger you are, I agree, the better, because your mind is just so open to all those different sounds. Have you ever thought, do you sing as well?
Well, I do. The thing that I'm very happy to be blessed with is I have perfect pitch, and one in 10,000 people have that, so I feel very fortunate. My mom also has perfect pitch, so I got it from her, and so that helps. So I can sing really in tune, but I don't think my voice is totally pretty, I can sing, and I did teach choir for 2 years full time, which was a lot of fun, and but mostly I perform on my cello or on the piano, but I can sing.
It sounds like you're pretty gifted with, what about the flute or other instruments, or have you basically just stayed, you know, with the cello and the piano?
I stay with the cello and the piano. My boyfriend, he works at the school. He teaches at the school where I assist him with. He's actually a flute player and the drummer. So I play with him in the Electrica band, and I also play with him in Tango Ritmico. He plays the cajon, and he's also a flute player. So you can imagine that we've played weddings together and performed together, which makes a really perfect relationship. So
it
that's
does. Can you imagine? You couldn't have anything more in common than to go to weddings and play together. How great is that? I mean, that would be a marriage in heaven.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just been so much fun. And, you know, the type of music we can play, it varies so much. We just happen to really love, gypsy Hungarian music and love tangos. So that's what we kind of settled on for now.
What is your heritage? Are you... do you have any Russian or
actually. We're thinking, Russian, maybe a little bit of Polish. So, that's my heritage. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I thought, because your picture with you right there on your website playing the cello, or it's just, I thought, now she's got to have Hungarian or something else. You know, it was just kind of coming through there. And, Poland, that's all a great composer. It seems like so many great classical musicians come from Europe. And
I agree.
Have you gone all over, like, to Mozart's birthplace and all of that over in Vienna or Salzburg and that area, Rebecca?
I didn't, but I got close to it when I went on tour with San Francisco Youth Orchestra. We went to Austria and Germany and, oh gosh, Amsterdam, Paris. I mean, it was
wow.
Just a whirlwind tour, and we were gone for about 2.5 weeks, and we got to play at all these fantastic music halls. And so we didn't actually get to see Mozart where he lived, but we got close to it. But that was an absolutely fun trip for kids to take, and it made me even more excited about orchestra.
That was a whirlwind. How old were you?
How old was I? The nice thing about Service School Youth Orchestra, you can be in your early 20s. I think I was 20 or 21 at the time.
Wow. That's really incredible. But that many different countries, and that it's amazing. I mean, I guess you just didn't have any time to do. You'll have to go back and do all the things that you didn't have time to see. You were just in and out of hotels and concert halls. Wow.
It's true. And, you know, playing in that orchestra was such an amazing experience because you have, even though I was 20 or 21, I had 16-year-olds and 14-year-olds sitting around me who were incredible musicians. And most of these musicians go on into major orchestras, you know, and they're in different states and different countries. I mean, it's just the best kids around the Bay Area, you know, audition for this. And if they are lucky enough to get in, it's an incredible experience. And Alistair Neal at that time was our mm-hmm. conductor for that orchestra, and he was wonderful with us and very caring and very full of expression. So that was one of my best orchestra experiences ever in that group.
So that was really, really ferocious competition for that. I didn't realize. Okay. That was
mm-hmm.
another. Yeah, that would. Of course it would be. It's, you know, the Bay Area where we are in San Francisco, California area, isn't it one of the musical capitals of the world? Am I wrong?
I think you're right. I mean, it feels like that. There's so many talented musicians around us. I mean, just getting into San Francisco Youth Orchestra took me 3 tries to get into that group. It was so hard. And here I was studying with great teachers and, you know, trying my hardest, and then they let me in after the 3rd try. And it was worth it, though. Yeah.
And how long was it between tries?
It was just a year. So it was, I think the first year, they have you try out even if there's no positions open, just so they can keep your name. And so the second year I tried out, they wrote me back and they said, we'd love to hear you after the summer's done and see if you've improved even beyond that. And so I had, and so they let me in. So that was neat.
Wow, amazing that you had the tenacity to someone must have given you a wink or something to let you know that you were determined. Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And are there, you know, kids that try out 3 times and still don't get it?
Yeah, there are. And it's hard, you know, because it's hard to, as a kid, especially to audition, especially, you know, I did it when I was in my 20s, so that was a little bit easier. But when you're, you know, a teenager, and it's hard because you're
that's
not
a
used
tough
to that.
One. Yeah, you're not used mm-hmm. to it. But it's such good training for all of the auditions that you're going to be going to throughout your entire lives. So
absolutely.
I would imagine that, you know, that alone, the experience, even if you hadn't have gotten in, I didn't realize that it had taken you 3 times to get into that. Well, you know, that shows mm-hmm. that if you really are trained in your mind, like you said, when you went to audition, you wore the clothes that made you would practice in those or whatever made you feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like this whole, like, training for a marathon, I would
True.
Imagine, that you're just, do you feel, I mean, I have heard so much, and I'm sure all the people that listen to this show, that music actually playing a musical instrument, it enhances your intelligence quotient. Do you believe that?
I do, and I've heard that playing the piano when you get older helps with Alzheimer's, and it helps to so, you know, I think you're using so many different parts of your brain that I really do think it helps your intellect. And, you know, you're doing all this thinking, and you're using the creative parts of your brain, and, I mean, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and it could – so anybody, even a senior that wanted to keep going and might – first thought maybe push Alzheimer's back a notch if they took up the piano.
I think so.
I mean, I can understand that. And also you get in that kind of zone, that really relaxed state, I would think, because you're just, you know, kind of doing repetitive motion or whatever. But so it's really never too late. It might be a little harder for a 90-year-old person to, but you know what? I think it's possible. You know, what's the oldest student you've had? You probably mostly had children, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I've mostly had children. My mom actually has probably taught the oldest student I know of. It's 80-year-old, and she was absolutely wonderful. And she did, she played pretty well also, but she just enjoyed it so much. And I think that's almost more important than playing well, is just having the enjoyment of playing the instrument.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is that joy. You know, we're almost out of time, Rebecca, and I would love for everyone to understand that her websites, Rebecca's websites, and how to get in touch with her and learn more about her, it's all right here on the description of this page. And I'm sure she would love for anybody to ask her any questions. And, you know, any youth out there that you know, they have some dreams, that maybe she could give them a pointer or two, I'm sure that Rebecca would be just delighted to help anyone. And I am just so pleased. It's just been an honor to have you on the show. I'm just really honored, Rebecca.
Oh, thank you. I had so much fun being on your show, and thank you so much for inviting me to do this.
Well, you're more than welcome, and I'm going to make sure and take time so that we can hear your piece to end the show. It's actually a little shorter than I had realized, because when I started the show, I went, oh, no, it's not over. But I was so into it. You know, it was just so good.
Thank you.
Well, we just wish you the very, very, very best. And take care, and let me go ahead and get that piece right here. Let me bring it up on my switchboard so that I can click it before Rebecca Rodman. And that's Basso. How did you pronounce that? Basso?
Basso.
Basso Electra. All right. Good night,
great,
Rebecca.
Thank you. Good night.
I just want to tell everyone again that piece you heard is by cellist Rebecca Rodman, and it's called Basso Electra, and she was our guest tonight, and you can find out all about her by going to the website, Judy Joy Jones Show, and in the description it tells everything about her. And it also has her website, and I'm going to add two more websites so that anyone out there that would like to write her, email her, ask her questions. As you heard, she's just a beautiful person and just one of the best cellists that I've ever heard. So I would love for everybody to know that this information is available. And we've got about 1 minute, and I just want to mention tomorrow night that our beautiful guest is Doris Williams, and she is what I consider an angel of Celtic music. She plays it on her lute, and her singing, her voice will blow you away. She put her lute away for many years, and when she took it out, she never put it away again. And thank you, Doris Williams, for not putting it away and for going to be on our show tomorrow night, 10-5, October 5th at 7 o'clock. And then on October 8th at 7 o'clock, our guest will be classical composer from Belgium. He'll be calling in from Belgium. His name is Stephen Marlies, and he is actually has composed a couple of pieces for the Judy Joy Jones show, and I'm really excited to present him. He is an up-and-coming composer. He's performed, his music is performed all over the world, and you won't want to miss him. I promise you, you will just be enthralled. His Portrait of a Composer CD is beautiful. His music, to me, it just transports you to other galaxies and Mars and the moon and just everything that's beautiful to think about that we're going to. And Blog Talk Radio, I love everyone out there. And Ellen Levy, thank you for inventing this and making it possible. Rebecca Rodman, thank you. I am just so glad you were our guest tonight. So I am going to, in the last 2 seconds, if I can get down quick enough, I'm going to turn on Rebecca Rodman, Basso Electra.